Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I could really use your prayers these days. You see, my oldest daughter is taking behind the wheel training. Actually, it's not too bad. She does a pretty good job. The hardest part about it, actually, is where's the time gone? Too fast. And it just seems like a couple weeks ago, I was doing my own behind-the-wheel training. I remember those days well, going early before school and getting that instruction. Must have been this time of year, because usually when I went, it was dark when I did most of my driving. I remember one particular time with the instructor. We were driving out through some of the country roads in the dark, and I'm driving along, and I think I'm doing great. This driving stuff is a piece of cake. And all of a sudden, the instructor reaches over and grabs the wheel and jerks me back into the proper lane. Once my heart started beating correctly again, he explained that I was drifting over into oncoming traffic and explained that the reason was because of the lights. You see, I was focusing my eyes on the lights of the oncoming cars. And the lights had such a draw that my whole body literally began following those lights as I drifted into the other lane. And light can have that effect. Light has a way of drawing us in. That's what Epiphany is all about, after all. Epiphany starts out with the light of a star, followed by men from the east. That light draws them in to come and worship the infant Jesus. And this Epiphany season in our congregation, we too will follow that light. And that light will draw us into God's Word, where for the next several weeks, we will look at some of the foundational teachings of the faith. We'll especially let that light shine on how we as Lutheran Christians express those teachings of the faith. A faith that for many of us started in the waters of baptism. So this morning, I want you to imagine that we are gathered here in darkness. And in the midst of the darkness, a light begins to shine. That light captures our attention, and we're drawn toward the light. And as we approach the light, we recognize that the light is reflecting off the water. And so I want to invite you. Let's go down to the water.
Thank you.
scene from the classic children's movie. And in that scene, Simba starts out as a broken person. And if you're not familiar with the story, Simba was broken over the death of his father, as they talked about there. A death that had happened many years ago, but continued to haunt him because he felt responsibility for that death, and in some ways he was. You see, Simba, as a young lion cub, wanted to explore past the Pride Land, but his parents forbid him to do so. One day, ignoring the orders of his parents, he went off on an adventure, and while on that adventure, was caught up in a stampede of animals, facing certain death, until his father showed up to rescue him. But in the process of saving his son, his father gave up his life. And so, in a very real way, Simba was responsible for his father's death. And that's why he was broken. And when we come to the waters, we too are broken. That's what Paul reminds us of in Romans chapter 3. He does that in the form of a question. He says, Are we any better? Are we any better than Simba, who was responsible for his father's death? And Paul's answer, not at all. Are we any better than those people we criticize for their wrongdoing? Not at all. Are we any better than the drug addict or than the mugshot that we see flashing across the news screen? Not at all. And Paul goes on to tell us we're not any better, because in verse 20 he says, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are no better because of the sin of our lives, our selfishness, our desire to disobey the orders of our Heavenly Father and go off on our own adventures. But it leads only to brokenness. In fact, Paul warns us that it leads to the brokenness of death. In chapter 5 of that same book, he goes on to say, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death came to all, because all sinned. Death came to all because all have sinned. Because of that brokenness, because of that sin, Paul says we are deserving of nothing but death. Not just the physical death that we all face one day, but we are all deserving of eternal death, separated from the glory of our Heavenly Father. We come to the waters. We are broken people. So much so that we need someone to lead us to those waters. Just like Simba needed that crazy monkey Rafiki. We need someone to bring us there. Whether it's our parents who carried us as infants to the waters of baptism, or a friend who led us along in our journey of faith, or ultimately the working of God's Holy Spirit upon our hearts. And when we come to those waters, and when we peer into the waters of baptism, at first, we only see ourselves. Like Simba, we see our own reflection. We look up front at the time of a baptism, and we see a baby dressed in white dress or gown. We see a family smiling and happy for their special day. Today, you're invited to look harder. As Simba looked harder into the waters, he finally saw the reflection of his father, a father he was told that lived within him. As we peer harder into the waters of holy baptism, we too see the reflection of another. Paul describes that in Romans chapter 6, our epistle reading for this morning. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus, he didn't say baptized in that water, baptized into Christ. He was there in that water when you came to your baptism. And when you were baptized in that water, when you were baptized into Christ, you were literally connected with him. Paul describes it this way. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? And in those waters, you were not just connected to Christ, but connected to his cross. The place where one literally gave up his life for you. Paul describes it this way in verse 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Our old self crucified with him. When we are connected with Christ in the waters of baptism, the brokenness of our lives, the sin that we carry, is literally nailed to that cross. So that, as Paul says, our sin is done away with. And we receive forgiveness and grace. It's one of the hallmarks of the Lutheran understanding of baptism. What happens there in these waters is no mere ritual. It's not just a symbol of something God has done. But what happens there in those waters is very real. In a very real way, you are connected to Christ. You are connected to his death. And therefore, you receive in those waters the forgiveness of sin. Not only that, you are also connected to his resurrection. Verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You are connected to the empty tomb through those waters as well, so that you may live a new life, a life that is now free from that guilt and shame that you carry around with you, a life that is free from the bondage to sin that holds you down, a new life lived in the blessings of faith. That new life is yours in the waters of baptism. And yet how often do we continue to live according to that old life? We return back to our brokenness. We carry around our fears and our worries. We are burdened by our guilt and our shame. We return back to old habits and continue to do things our way instead of following the will of our Father. And so today, we return to the waters of baptism, not to be baptized over again. In the Lutheran tradition, we're baptized once because God does the baptizing, and he gets it right the first time. He doesn't need to do it again. But we do need to return. As Martin Luther wrote about in his small catechism, we return to our baptism to remember that the old Adam is done away with, and each day a new man arises to live in the glory of God. return to the waters of baptism to remember. To remember what happened in those waters. In the waters of baptism, you are to remember who you are. Paul says it this way in verse 11. In the same way, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to Christ. He's telling you to remember that in the waters of baptism, your sin is done away with. You are forgiven. Remember who you are, that you are a child of God. Remember that you now live a new life in Him. So you remember your baptism. You're encouraged again to hear the words of our Heavenly Father. Words He spoke when His own Son walked out of the waters of baptism. And words He repeats to you. This is my beloved Son. Remember who you are in the waters of baptism, connected to Christ, forgiven by Him, that you may live a new life. Amen. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.